If the book of Ecclesiastes had a secondary title, I think it might be Time, Life, and Eternity. In fact, when, here we just read a moment ago together, the wise man Solomon concludes the book of Ecclesiastes, which, by the way, the word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. As he brings this book to a close, he references the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What has been the whole matter? Well, it's been chapter after chapter of Solomon trying to dissect and discern and discriminate between these ideas of time and life and eternity, trying to answer the overarching question which has been on the back of the minds of mankind since the very earliest days we've had existence. The question, what is the purpose of all of this? We're born, had nothing to say about it. We live and sometimes have very little to do about it. We die, and it comes in matters and times with circumstances beyond our control, usually beyond our control. And when we consider the whole thing wrapped up in one package, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the purpose of all of it? We're here for a short time. Folks live before we have. They'll probably live after we're gone. We make a small ripple in a pond of time and history, but so little ripple that nobody later will even notice, much less acknowledge or be changed by our lives. So what does it all matter in the larger picture, or even in our smaller picture of our own lifetime? What is the purpose? What's the meaning of life? And that's been a joke for years, but a joke based upon some semblance of substance. Because everybody has that question. You may not use language like that, but you've wondered yourself, what is the purpose of all of this? What's the purpose? What's the meaning of life? And again, it boils down the whole matter to discerning time and life and eternity. And long story short, time and life mean nothing outside the understanding of eternity. Time and life absolutely have no meaning at all with no eternity in mind or in question. But you insert eternity back into the equation, and it gives purpose to life and gives meaning to time spent. It gives purpose and meaning and reason for a lifetime if you realize the best of life is past this one. The real reality is beyond this one. But for some time in the chapters preceding this last one in Ecclesiastes, Solomon has been struggling with this matter. What's the purpose of everything? And scattered throughout, he makes references to time, his time's passage. And by the way, backing just a moment from the text, if I were to ask you what is the definition of time, you think you know, but you have a real difficulty in giving a concise answer. You might talk about time's measurement, but I didn't ask about its measurement. I asked about what it is. Well, it's the sun, and our relationship as a planet to the sun, revolving around it and spinning upon our own axis. That's the measurement of it. Or you might say it's a matter of decay, of deterioration. We are young, we get old. Rocks erode. The water washes the landscape and changes our terrain. And things change over time. Again, these are time's measurements. What is time itself? Well, I'll leave that with you because I haven't got an answer either. But I know it when I see it. And that's the way the book presents the idea. You know it when you see it. It begins in chapter 1 talking about the unanswerable questions we might have, one of which is this one. All the waters run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Well, we know that. And we think, well, that's the water cycle that's in motion, that the rivers and the lakes, they run into the oceans, the seas, and then that water evaporates and then rains upon the earth, and it's just a cycle over and over again. And that reminds us of time moving forward. Last night we got some much wanted rain, which with the less wanted wind and much, much less wanted sirens. But we'd been a while without rain. And there are areas not too far from here that have had drought type conditions for a while now. But I promise you, regardless where you live, if you wait long enough, it'll rain. And if you wait long enough again, it'll stop raining and it'll be kind of drought-like for a while. But things over time work themselves out because, again, we're talking about over time. Well, in the same book of Ecclesiastes, he goes on to talk in chapter 3 about that verse all of us, I think, know by heart. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. He talks about a time to be born and a time to die. So many things for which they have their season, their time. And we realize this both with the turning of the pages of the calendar or just reflecting upon the changes in our own seasons of our own lives, the difference in youth and middle age and more older age. Life has its seasons, its times, and there's a time and place for most every part and portion of a lifetime. But again, the book brings up this idea of time. Even with respect to those things that we might think would give our life purpose, time has a way of eroding them. One thing it looks at is wisdom, a true understanding of how things work. And aside from making the point in the book that we'll never have all the answers, because the more answers we have, the more questions they provide. Even then, his point is made. You spend a lifetime learning all these facts and understanding all these deep truths, and you finally have what you think is a bit of wisdom, and number one, nobody cares to hear you, and number two, you're going to leave. And when you leave, where have they gone? All these pearls of wisdom that you had. Now, we've got Solomon's inspired book as a pearl of wisdom that lives on all these centuries later, but not because he said it, because God said it. God's word lasts and lives forever, but ours, not so much. No, time has a way of eroding that, and so is that really life's meaning, life's purpose? He looks in chapter 5, for example, at the matter of money. And it's odd that when a preacher has nobody's attention, he just has to use the word money and everybody wakes back up. Everybody likes to talk about money. This election is so much about money. Our conversations revolve around money, which we should not love, because the love of it is the root of all evil, as Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. But still, money is at the forefront of our thinking, so much so that many people view the purpose in life as accumulating more and more stuff, possessions, and money to buy that stuff and those possessions. But the wise man says, no, he that loves silver is not satisfied with silver. Or he that loves abundance with increase. In other words, the more you have, the more you want. He goes on to say that here you amass this wealth, and the more you amass in terms of income, the more you create by way of outgo that you never saw coming. And then on top of that, he says, you amass all this wealth and you leave it to fools. You may be a fool that's been left too. You may be one who's concerned about leaving what you have to fools. But it's true regardless. You can't take it with you. It may be nice for a while you have it, though as we've just noticed, the more you have, the more you want. It doesn't bring true contentment. But having said that, if it could, you can only have it while you're here in this world below, under the sun. And once you leave these realms under the sun, once you go into the realm of eternity, all this means nothing, and your wealth is left to those in many times are no more than fools. Getty left a fortune. And Rockefeller left a fortune. And Gates will leave a fortune. Bezos will leave a fortune. In every case, the same. Left will leave. Not a one of them have or will take anything with them past this life. Nor will you, nor will I. Which means that's not life's purpose, because time has a way of taking care of those things we think are so important in life. Once time plays out in a lifetime, it's obvious those matters of time and life are meaningless with respect to flesh and blood and bones and body and what matters. Because it all has to be left behind. It's all a matter of time's decay. I'll remind you of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The reason we shouldn't amass or hoard or be absorbed or consumed by wealth here is because it won't last past our lifetime here, and even while here, it may erode, it may corrupt, it may be stolen. No wonder we are warned not to love it. It's a misplaced, unfounded love. That's not life's purpose. Never has been. Because time and life have a way of stealing that from you. And so whether it's wisdom or wealth, or if we had time to go into matters like pleasure and power, the same things are true. Time has a way of stripping those things from you, and even if you can't make the best of them in a lifetime is just that, a time of life in the flesh which is so soon over. Which then brings us to this last chapter. It can seem so depressing in somewhat of a humorous way when you're young, and a less humorous way as you start living out the process. Because as the last chapter of Ecclesiastes begins, Solomon makes the point, we need to really dig down on being a true servant of God while we're young, while we have the energy, we have the desire, we have the wherewithal, because the time is coming when we won't have the same opportunities, the same energy, the same strength. And then he starts showing what a lifetime will bring if we're blessed to live a long lifetime. The strength and vigor of youth is gone. The grinders cease because they're few. Now, it talks about the almond tree flourishing, the gray hair. I never got to that part. But I'm sure if something grew up there, it wouldn't be as colorful as it was earlier. He talks about desire failing. That's That's a big one. I was talking to my father-in-law just a few days ago, and he talked about how desire is failing. It's not that he can't do some things, there's many things he can't, but some things he just doesn't want to do anymore. His desire has failed. A weakened position gives you a weakened desire to do those things that other people get up and about doing. You want to go on a trip? Well, I'd just soon stay here. You want to go out? No, I'd just soon sit here. You want to do something? No, I'd just soon not. That's just a part of growing older. And bit by bit and little by little in this last chapter, the wise man paints a wonderfully poignant picture of age as it starts to take hold of a human body. And as depressing as that seems, he finally gets to the end of that part of his narrative by saying, and then the mourners go about the streets. Why? Because the bowl's been broken, the silver cord's been loosed, it's death has come. And that's when the book starts to make a lot of sense. Because if that's all there is, that all these questions that have no answers, they're still with us. What's life all about? I lived my life. I tried to do my best. I tried to gain wisdom. I tried to gain some money. I tried to have some power over others. I tried to have pleasure along the way. And here I am getting old and dying anyway, and I'm gone. What does it matter? Solomon says, no, the body returned to dust from which it came. And then this next. And now he's hinted at this before in the book, but here clearly, and the spirit to God who gave it. Now back earlier in the third chapter, when he talks about the times and seasons of life, after describing these, he says, God has put eternity in their hearts. Well, here he fleshes out what that means in the last of the book. When life is over, life isn't over. When we cease to breathe, we don't cease to exist. There exists a life past this one. And that life and its perspective gives us a whole different way of looking at what matters most here and now. It's what effect our time spent and our life used will have upon our eternity yet to come. That's what matters. And so what's the conclusion of the whole matter? This matter of time and life and eternity, what's the conclusion? It's this. We ought to have been fearing, trusting, respecting, reverencing God all along. That's the whole duty of man right there. That's what we're here for. And why? Because God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be evil or whether it be good. What matters most is not what happens right now, but what it means about what will happen next, later, down the road, after this life is over. That's what matters most. And so time and life mean only what they do and have purpose only as they should and can in the perspective of eternity. You believe in eternity, it changes your whole view of what matters in life. By the way, a little hint here. I think you know it with me. You know what's wrong with our world right now? You strip a belief in eternity away. You take God away, and all you have left is just a bunch of animals fighting over scraps for the here and now, which describes our world, which describes our culture, which in many cases describes our nation. A bunch of animals scrapping over the scraps. No, we're not here just for the here and now. We're here for eternity. And so as we close, I remind you of the fact that when you die, you'll still live. Your body will cease to exist on this earth, but your spirit, to God, and eventually for judgment. And the decisions you make now, the decisions all of us make right now, determine the beauty or the horror of eternity beyond this life. If you're here this morning and outside of Christ, not a Christian, don't leave in that condition. If you're an unfaithful Christian, don't leave this assembly in that condition. The Lord can remedy your problems. He can save you from your sins. He can solve your spiritual problems in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He came. That's why He died. That's why His blood was shed. And believe me, you change your eternity. You've so improved your life here. Things make sense. Time and life and eternity. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.